Good morning. We'll begin our EMP for today. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We're going to be reading from verse 1 to 27. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" And this is kind of the main thing that I want to talk about. "And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.' And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them and saying, 'Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' A ruler questioned him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, 'How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' They who heard it said, 'Then who can be saved?' But he said, 'The things that are impossible with people are possible with God.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come humbly today before you and your word. And we ask that you would speak to us. I pray that you would give us humble hearts, give us open ears and eyes and an open heart to receive everything that you want to speak to us. Just be Lord over this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of today's message is "Like a Little Child." Like a little child. And we just read, Jesus said, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." I mean, it's pretty clear, right? Jesus, it's pretty important, actually. Wow, you don't get to enter the kingdom of heaven unless you do XYZ, which is be like a child. It's pretty, sounds important. So let's focus on that. And first, let's start with the word here. Actually, in the NASB, it says until you become like a child. But I just want to emphasize, actually, the word here for child is paideon in the original. And what it is actually baby, infant. It's a little child. So, and as we see even in verse 15, it's clear, right? So all these parents, they were bringing their babies. In verse 15, it says babies. They were bringing their babies to Jesus, and then the apostles, the disciples were saying, oh, come on, Jesus doesn't have time for these guys. You know, we need like the rich young rulers and the Pharisees to listen. You know, the important people, not these little babies. Come on, do that later. Pray for them yourself. Whatever the apostles were, disciples were thinking. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You need to be just like these little infants. Yeah, so like little babies. Okay. So let's think about this. So if we need to be like little babies, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, let's think about what are the characteristics of a little child, of a paideon, of a little baby. And I don't mean, because sometimes when we hear this, be like a child, I think sometimes we think about our 10-year-old, we think about our 12-year-old maybe. No, but I think about like your 3-year-old. Think about like your 2-year-old. Like that kind of a baby, okay? So let's think about those characteristics. And I think it's relevant because I have almost a three-year-old daughter, and so I see it every day. So this is some of the things that I observe about her. Now, my almost 3-year-old daughter is old enough. She has a strong will. She is her own person. She likes pink, and she definitely has a choice about what spoon she wants to use to eat breakfast that morning. So she has her own thoughts, but she also knows her limitations. She knows what she cannot do on her own, because guess what? This world is adult-sized. Like, she wants to hit the elevator button, she can reach, and try, but it's so evident to her, I really want to press the elevator button to go to our floor. She loves doing that, but she can't do it, because it's like 1.5 times her height. So she says, Daddy, I need you to raise me up so that I can hit the elevator button that I really want to hit. So it's so evident to her. She can see it, so she accepts it. She knows that she cannot do it on her own. She also likes hanging on her bronky bars in the playground. They're over 2 times her height, but she likes hanging. She wants to touch it like the big kids. Again, she can tell, there's no height I can jump to reach those monkey bars that she really likes to hang from. So she says, Daddy, I need you to raise me up. I need you to lift me up. Now, like a child versus the self-sufficient Pharisee that we just read about today. What was the Pharisee like? It says, I mean, it wasn't bad, right? The Pharisee, He does everything the law had told him. He memorized the Bible. The Pharisees at the time, they literally memorized like whole books of the Bible, right? They really wanted to love God. And the way that they did it was they memorized as much as they could. They really just went to the temple as much as they could. And they followed all the rules that they thought that they should, right? They, you know, paid their tithes and they fasted and prayed and all that stuff. They, in some respects, they even went beyond what the letter of the law said because they wanted to so please God. But in the midst of that, they totally missed the point. They became so reliant on actually executing the letter of what they thought God told them that their hearts became totally messed up. They went from initially, wow, God is awesome. God is powerful. God is like, I cannot be self-sufficient, to this attitude over the years. Because think about this. When Moses first gave the law to the Israelites, they were in a place where the awesomeness of God came down, revealed itself on earth, and came down to Mount Sinai. There was thunder, there was a cloud, there was fire. It was crazy. Like, we don't really get it, but It was so scary. It was so awesome. It was beyond any Typhoon 10 or 9 or hurricane or whatever that we see now on videos and go, oh my God, that's so scary or awesome or whatever. It was beyond that times infinity. And these Israelites were so awed. They became so fearful at this presence of God that manifested itself physically like this above Mount Sinai, that they told Moses, we can't go there. You go up there to the mountain and talk to God, but I can't get to God. He's that fire, cloud, thunder, rolling, whatever, I can't do that. So I'm going to stay here and you go. They had this like awesome reverence and fear about the holiness of God, right? About how just I can't bridge that gap to him. And yet then Moses got the law, and then they started following the law, and then ever so insidiously it became, I follow these rules that God gave me. Wow, I'm really doing a pretty good job, I think. And so they got the exterior stuff all right, but then the inside of their heart went from this, there is no way that God is so awesome and amazing, I can't do this, I can't get close to him. And they went from that humility to, I'm doing pretty well. I'm coming to EMP once a week. I'm coming to EMP every day. Hey, I'm fasting every so often. Man, I'm a leader in this church. I'm a house church leader. I don't know. I tithe. I'm serving. I'm pretty good. Right? This is what we might say to ourselves. But then, like these Pharisees, we might rely on our religious acts and our own ability to become righteous. And we miss the mark a bit. Now, look, there's lots of sins. There's outside sins. You know, if someone were to come in drunk into church, I think a lot of us would be like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, the Bible very clearly says don't get drunk on wine. And so that's a sin. You know, we have someone who's, sleeping around, then we can say, well, you know, fornication is bad. Paul was very clear about that, although these days people play around with the definition, so it's all messed up anyway. But, you know, people will say, well, that's bad, and we're very quick to judge that. We're very quick to say, yeah, you shouldn't get drunk. You shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't, whatever, be sleeping around. But if people come in around us, or even us, and deep in our hearts, if we have a sin of pride, jealousy, outbursts of anger, strife, envying, pride, a big one, how quickly do we cut ourselves with that? How often do we let that slide, the inner sins versus the outside? And so I just want to dig in. Yeah, so let's let that really sink as we go further into this. So the Pharisee, as I mentioned, is obviously not like a little child. Luke is very clearly contrasting the Pharisee versus the little children. And when you become self-sufficient like the Pharisee, you essentially have lowered your view of God about how holy he is, how righteous he is, how beautiful, how pure he is. You've lowered him a bit, and you have erroneously raised yourself too much, saying that possibly I, through my own ability, through my own acts, whatever, could possibly climb up that height to God's holiness. It's like my daughter, again. She thinks somehow that the monkey bars are coming lower, and she's suddenly able to jump like Shaq or something. I don't know. Yeah? And so what does that do? Well, when you fall into this mentality, you can easily start judging people. You have an exalted view of yourself. Essentially, what the Pharisee does here. Instead of thinking, only but for the grace of God go, you know, there go I. Essentially, that guy, that brother or sister of mine who's fallen, that could very well have been me. That could very well have been me. And instead of having that humble heart, you start thinking like the Pharisee, oh man, I could be messed up too. But I'm not as messed up as that guy. If you have thought that, sitting here in service, in your house church, if you have thought, man, I'm glad I'm not like that dude. Guess what? You're dealing with pride. And I have to say, all this stuff, it's just what God was downloading to me this week. And I was really, you can't make this stuff up too. You can't just suddenly tell yourself, you know, your true self is what you're thinking when you're lying at home at night. Or your true self is when the difficulty is coming and there is testing. And what are the real things that come up to the surface? What are your real thoughts? What are your real attitudes? Yeah. So that's actually what is really in your DNA. And guess what? That is what God wants to deal with. He wants to give, like Ezekiel, right? He wants to come and give you a new heart, not your old hardened heart. He needs to give you a new heart. So yeah, pride, judging. You know, and I want to read this for you. Romans 2, it's the Message version, which is kind of easier. let me say the Message interpretation, right? Because it's actually not necessarily a translation. But I'm going to read it for you. Let it sink in. If you think that leaves you on the high ground where you can point your fingers at others, think again. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. It takes one to know one. Judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping detection in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't so easily diverted. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you to what you've done. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Whoa. So let this really speak to us today. Are you judging? Because then you're succumbing to a sin of pride and you're standing with the devil and you're not standing with God. Are you self-sufficient? Do you have an attitude that because I've done these things, I'm okay? I'm actually pretty holy. I'm pretty good. Instead, realizing that every day we need to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Every day. These are really insidious things. If you've ever been in a place where you're criticizing your house church leaders, look, by the way, they might deserve it, right? But it's your attitude. But if you're dealing with the critical spirit, if you're dealing with the judging spirit, if you're dealing with the self-sufficient spirit, guys, and I like it that we all have men here today, you got to take care of business. If you feel, and let me tell you what self-sufficiency looks like. Look at the widow that we just read about today. Contrast the widow with the Pharisee. You know, widow at this time, you know what it means? Absolutely no legal right. No social security net. No nothing. Nothing. Like, you know your place in life. You have nothing to rely on except the righteous judge, God himself. And that's why you will become prayerful. Self-sufficient. If you are not praying, if you're not spending time with God, if you're trying to do things on your own, the proof of the pudding is, are you praying? And I don't mean like 5 minutes on the bus. I don't mean like, yeah, God, you know, bless my spirit to connect with Holy Spirit, you know, to lead my body and your soul, which obviously is great and you should do it. I mean, are you really relying on God and not your own ability? Are you really praying? Prayerlessness is a symptom of pride, is a symptom of self-sufficiency. You don't pray because you think, although your head doesn't think it, but in your bones, you think I can do it on my own. That's why you're not praying. That's why you're not submitting yourself to God, because you think I can do it. If we had the right view, the right attitude, the right perspective about how great God is and how small we are, we would be on our knees crying out to God every day, all the time, like this widow. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. If you are not praying, you are dealing with the sin of pride. And you have to know that you're sick so that you'll get treatment. Same with the rich young ruler. We have the widow. She's just like my daughter. Monkey bar, she can see, is way too high for her. There's absolutely no way she can jump up that high. So she throws herself at the mercy of Jesus, her God. Rich young ruler, same thing. Self-sufficient. How is he self-sufficient? Well, look at this. He did everything. Hey, I didn't commit adultery. I didn't commit murder. Fine. I didn't steal. Well, I think a lot of us have stolen in our lives, probably, you know. Do not bear false witness. You didn't lie. Come on. We've all lied. Honor your father and mother. Okay, well, that's a big one. So many times we've fallen short of that. So many of these laws. And this guy says, I've done everything. And actually, Jesus doesn't say, no, you didn't. He actually did. This is ridiculous. He's like amazing. And then Jesus does this. He goes to the heart of the matter. He says, yeah, that's, you did. Oh, that's awesome. Now, here's one thing. Sell everything you have and follow me. Oof. He gets to the heart of it, self-sufficiency. Are you going to call me Lord with your mouth? Or are you really going to say, God, you're Jesus, you're my Lord? Are you just going to pay lip service? I mean, he did everything. Yeah, because he loved Jesus and he wanted to follow, he did. But then there was a part of his life he could not lay down because he had a lot of money. But it doesn't matter. We can have like $100, but we're still not laying it down. We can have $1,000, $1,000,000. He'd not be like a billionaire like this guy. But yet, we're not laying it down. Self-sufficiency. Jesus, I'll let you be Lord over this much, 99%, but this 1%, come on, man, don't touch that. Hey, Jesus, if he's not Lord over all, he's Lord over nothing. It's not like I'll give you 99% and I'll leave 1% for myself. That's not how it works. This is a big deal. Again, Jesus very clearly says, this rich young ruler could not enter the kingdom of heaven. How are you at your work? Actually, Ernie, if you could come up and maybe start with some instrumental, if that's okay. That song that we discussed. Some more examples. How are you at work? Self-sufficiency means that you think instead of God being able to promote you, you think that your ability and you're looking good to your boss and you're stomping on your coworker so that you can climb up. That's self-sufficiency. Instead of saying, somebody says something wrong about you, somebody even disses you, are you going to rely on God to avenge you? Or are you going to take the matter into your own hands and do it by yourself? Are you going to ask God for wisdom? Please protect me. Are you going to spend time in prayer and crying out? Or are you in your anger going to go out and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of business today. Your bank account. When God tells, well, first of all, are you tithing? Okay, that's basic, right? Basic. But if God tells you one day, give it beyond and above that. Sacrificially. Cut down on your Netflix budget or entertainment budget, whatever, but give to me sacrificially. Do you say yes to him? Or do you say, well, you know, come on, God, I need my ESPN. Or do you say that? How do you use your time? You know, praise God, you guys are all here, but in general, people who are listening too, but, you know, in general, how are we using our time? All these different spheres, they are reflecting our self-sufficiency. So don't put yourself off the hook and say, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. You're probably not, just like me. You know, in the Narnia Chronicles, C.S. Lewis writes about, obviously, Aslan, who is it's a representation of Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Aslan is the lion. And I love it. One of the children says this. Well, you know, Aslan, he's not a tame lion. He's not a domesticated lion. He's Aslan. About how kind of there's fear a bit, trembling when they get into the presence of Aslan. Friends, God is not a domesticated God. He's not like the Lion of Judah is not like a domesticated little cat that we can put into a box. And whenever we feel like it, we go up to him and say, oh, nice little kitty. Oh, yeah, you look so nice. Ah. And then whenever we don't, we just go off and do our own thing. That's not the Lion of Judah. God is God. God is, as the Bible describes, as I said, Exodus 20. When there was a manifestation of God on the earth, and there still are, right? But when there was a manifestation, it was greater than any earthquake, any hurricane, typhoon, lightning, thunder, whatever. It was so much that the people trembled and they shook. And they couldn't approach the mountain of God. You know, it's great, our message these days, you know, Father, Heart of God. Actually, there is the Father, Heart of God, absolutely. But the great and awesome God is like a father to us, but he is still great and holy and awesome. And we have adulterated this to be like, you can sit here and say like, I believe, you know, confess with your mouth and I believe Jesus, you're my Savior, and you're saved, and then you can live like Jesus is not Lord over your life for the rest 99.9% of your life. This is not how it is. Anyway, look, this was a message for me. Like I said, if you're dealing with self-sufficiency, critical spirit, judging spirit, like gossip, unforgiveness, comparing yourself to others, I'm going to ask God, right, and all these pride issues. God wants holiness in our inner man. He wants us to be holy, not just the outside looking good and not smoke, I don't know, whatever, not smoking, not like being drunk and stuff and fornication, that too, but your heart. He needs holiness in our heart. And he is drawing us to repentance. He is calling us to repentance. You know, in Romans 2:4, where I just read, we often hear, it's his kindness which leads us to repentance. And that's absolutely true. But the whole context of that, here, listen to this, is, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Emphasize that first point. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Are you taking his grace for granted? Now we have things like hypergrace, which is ridiculous. So friends, Let's just do that. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit as Ernie leads us into worship. I'm doing this for myself, right? Because I am definitely a work in progress. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And people who are listening, we're going to ask, yeah, Father God, we can't make this stuff up. What is really in our hearts, in the deep, deep, deep of our hearts, we cannot change it on our own strength. Lord, but we need, just like you said through the prophet Ezekiel, Lord, we need you to come and give us soft hearts, baby skin, humble hearts, soft hearts, a new heart. So Holy Spirit, I ask, would you come to us and to people who are listening? This is a hard, this is a weighty message. This is not a feel-good message only. This is a real mess. This is, you need to do something, God. So I pray, would you give us ears to hear? Do something. Let there be impact in our spirit, in our hearts, in our life, in, yeah, the core of who we are. Lord, to the very DNA, we want to be like a new man, like Jesus. We want to have new hearts. And it becomes, and I can't do it on my own. I can't change the way I think on my own. So Jesus, come, send your Holy Spirit now. Send your fire, send your convicting Holy Spirit. We want to repent. And Lord, I thank you so much, God, because you said through Psalms and you're to David, God, humble and contrite heart, you will not despise. You sent Jesus to give us new hearts. So Lord, we thank you. Just come for humility. Lord, if it wasn't for you, I'd be stuck in a ditch somewhere. I'd be the same thing as anyone else. I'm no better. All of us, God. Holy Spirit, come. Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I was lost, but now blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious thee that grace appeared. I first believe, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining us the sun. We this to see God's praise than when we first begun. Let's hum this song.
Just that Romans 2 verse again. I'm just going to read it. It's the Message version. Did you think that because he's such a nice God, this is verse 3 to 4. Let this sink, okay? Did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he is not soft. God is kind, but he is not soft. In his kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. You're not getting by with anything. Brothers, we're not going to get by with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God just adds fuel to the fire. The day is coming when it's going to blaze hot and high. God's fiery and righteous judgment. Make no mistake. In the end, you get what's coming to you. Real life for those who work on God's side, but to those who insist on getting their own way and take the path of least resistance, fire. Friends, last time I shared about, I think it was in June, doing about the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira. It was a time when God's presence was so manifest that people were getting healed left and right. The very shadow would fall and people would sitting in the shadow would get healed. God is bringing a time like that again. It's going to happen. It's already happening. The kingdom of God is breaking through. But what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They lied a little bit. They were killed. God struck them down. When his holiness comes, unholiness cannot stand in the presence. God, now that we can, right now, repent. Draw near to God while you still can. Maybe just for a little bit longer. Let's stay in this place and let Holy Spirit just speak to us. I really do feel it's the men of the house that need to stand up. The men of this house that need to stand up and step into their role as gatekeepers of their families, of this body of Christ. We need to stand up. I guess it's actually, we have our men's retreat coming up. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves, humble ourselves before our King, and say whatever you want to do. Give control over to him. No more self-sufficiency. No more control. We lay it down, God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Lord, let's pray for our community members who are undergoing cancer and chemo. Let's pray for members of our community who, friends and family members, loved ones, who are sick but also need salvation. Let's cover them.
Let's move on to friends, loved ones, family members who are dealing with infirmities. Let's rebuke infirmity. Let's pray, speak shalom over their bodies and for fullness of health. Move on to praying for members of our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray for open doors and also doors that should not be open to be closed. Let's pray that during this time of maybe even delayed promise, that they would dig deeper wells in God. They would seek God more. And what God is preparing them for, that everything that God is preparing them for in this pause time, they would not miss. Pray for them. Pray for our Saturday focus, so mission focus, North Korea, open doors for ministry. Let's just cover North Korea in general, actually, for God's will to be done. And next year, who knows, might be bumpy again. Missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, and let's cover the persecuted churches of the Middle East. I mean, people are dying every day, persecuted for the gospel. Let's cover our brothers and sisters. cover our SP weekend gatherings. We have GIC, we have premarital counseling, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach. We have the Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP Indonesia, SP Philippine services and activities. We also have our first meeting of LAM, Love After Marriage, the discipleship class, and Word in All meetings. So let's cover them. And praise God that we have all these things that we're doing. Let's pray that we're not doing it out of our own ability, but let's pray that, you know, it will be eternally fruitful. Yeah, so let's pray for that. Let's cover the house churches. Same thing, King's Court, Mahwan, Southside, Westside. We want eternal fruit. Lord, let's pray that, you know, we won't put God in a box. We want to see what God can do and not what we can do. Friends, let's cover Hong Kong. This is pivotal week, guys. September, 10-1, big weekend. Lots of protests scheduled. Honestly, have absolutely no idea how to pray. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. But let's not have fear. This was all prophesied, you know. God's shaking things. God needs to shake things because we are too complacent. So let's pray for God's will to be done, accomplished as fast as it can be. Let's cover this weekend especially. There's going to be, it might be very dramatic. Who knows? Hopefully not, but let's see. let's cover the Mongolia team. Sally, John, Koshi, I believe, are leading the team. They just left yesterday. Let's pray again that it would be a fruitful time. Let's pray for protection for their body, soul, and spirit. Also, just let's pray that they would have like eyes of the hawk. So rise above and see the situation as God sees. Call out treasures in hidden places. Don't call out the circumstances. Don't anybody can do that, but that they would call out the prophetic. What has not come but will come, so that they would have God's perspective. Let's pray for that. We thank you, Lord. If you've been faithful and have been praying with us up until this time, I just wanted to share something. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year. It started yesterday, I believe. It was at sunset, and it goes until October 1. I want you to think about this. There are three festivals at the beginning of the New Year in the Jewish calendar. One thing is, it's good. You know how we always begin the year with the fast as we enter repentance? May I just recommend that maybe this... I feel like, you know, for me, that's what God has done, but... If God, Holy Spirit, moves you, this is a good time maybe for you to enter into a fast, into a time of repentance. Start this new year anew. Also, because 2020 is a big year, actually. I don't know if you know, but 2020 is a big year. You got to enter into it with repentance. Clean heart, clean hands. Those are the ones that can ascend the hill of the Lord, right? We want His presence. We want to be able to draw close to Him. Starts with humility. Starts with repentance. Let's take care of business. Clean hearts. Clean hands. So thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for the faith, you know, these ones, God, who are here, the ones who are listening, who have been praying right now. I pray that would you bless them? Would you bless them? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. We thank you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.